Travel together. They don't trust me anymore. But there is a problem in getting flights out of Guyana because it's so crowded. And we barely got this, and the Lord made it possible. Because we wanted to be yesterday morning for the breakfast for the Blessed Children Home. And the Lord made it possible for us to be there. And we had a wonderful time with all our friends. We had about 60 people there. And we shared much of what's going on in the home. For those who may not know, we call our home Bless the Children Home. And we have 17 kids right now and three house parents. My wife and myself will make five. We have a security man in the night. And we are believing God that these kids will all be saved and serving the Lord. We have devotions every night and church on Sunday morning. We talked with them just before we got here, and it seemed like everything is going well. God has been blessing us wonderfully. And I want to thank this church and all you brethren for your support. We want to thank you. Without your support, we wouldn't exist. And I say that because some people say, why don't you have more kids? Well, we can't have more kids, but it takes more money to have more kids. We have to pay these house parents. We have to buy stuff. We have to pay the bills and all of that. Right now, my wife and myself, we are not receiving a salary because there's not enough money coming in for our salary. So we are rather sacrifice ourselves so the work can go forward. Amen? And whatever you do, God will bless you and multiply it back to you. Because true religion, as James said, is to remember the fatherless and the widows in the time of their need. Psalm 41 says, when you give to the poor, you're lending to the Lord. And he will return it back to you in many ways. I believe in giving. I've given my life to the Lord since I was 14 years old. And I have nothing to regret today, for there was so much joy and happiness. There are many people that think, well, money is everything in life, but you're wrong. Life and the joy of life is fulfillment. To be in the place that God made you to be and to serve him where he wants you to serve him. We lived in the States here for about 19 years, and then the Lord called us to go back to Guyana to do this wonderful work. Amen? And I just want to share some testimonies with you. I shared yesterday morning about the water pump. I was so busy, I asked one of the boys in the orphanage, he's 11 years old, to put some paste on one of the pipes that was leaking. It was coming out a little bit, you know? Slipping out, so you can push it back in and it's okay. But I said, pull it out and put a little paste there. That wasn't hard to do. And the mistake they made, they took one of the young ladies with them. If you don't warn me, I'm going to get in trouble if I talk like that. And she went and turned the water off so the boys could put the paste on. Now, I didn't say turn the water off. I said just pull it out a little bit, put some paste and push it back. You know, not good. And she forgot to turn it on back. So my wife plugged the pump in, and it was running for about 5 hours. And it had a funny sound. And no water was going up. Because after about an hour, the drums will be running over. You know what I mean? It's full. And my heart was wrenching within me because I was so busy. We were getting ready to leave. I got to fix a water pump now. We turned it off. It was hot, hot, hot. I said, oh, we lost this because running a pump without water for 5 hours is no good. But I would say it's a miracle, brother. After I allowed it to cool down a little bit, I turned the water on and turned the pump on, and it started working again. I said, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. And God has been doing many miracles for us over there. And I should let you know, there's a gentleman in Tennessee. His name is Hugh Carver. He's been a friend of the orphanage since we began. And his son, Tyler Carver, got killed in a car crash at the age of 16 years old. It's about 2 years ago. And so Mr. Carver, a Christian gentleman, his son was a Christian, decided to do something for the children in the orphanage. He wanted the name of his son, Tyler Carver, to live on. So he decided he's going to build a church near to the orphanage so the kids from the orphanage can go there to worship and the community can come in and worship. What a great idea. What a wonderful idea. And I'm going to let you know that Mr. Carver's got the plan. He was there on Monday, Tuesday, left Wednesday morning. Then I took him to the airport from about 3:30 in the morning. Then I come home and I got ready. I left for the airport at 11:30 in the morning. And I came out. And he is going to build that church, two-story building. We're going to have a capacity of 500 people. We're going to have offices, kitchen. We're going to have an apartment at the back, two rooms. And the kids told him we need a baptism pool in there to baptize all those 17 kids when we dedicated the church. So he was there and he's back in the States raising the money to build this church. Somebody say amen. Amen. So when you pray for the orphanage, remember the building of the church. And then of course, I shouldn't forget to tell you, the devil does not like this. Because souls are gonna be saved, people are gonna be delivered, and he's gonna work against it. But in the name of the Lord, we will have the victory. My wife is here this morning. I don't want to forget her. She's sitting at the back, and she is the main person in the orphanage. It was her vision. But this morning, she's all her sinuses since she came over here, giving her a hope. She don't want, I don't know. You want to say something today? Stand and say hello. She let me do all the talking, but boy, she talks to me. She talks to me, I can tell you that. But it's so good to see you, brethren. So good to be back here. And we are looking forward to fellowshipping with you, sharing the Word of God, and being a blessing to you. I believe God is never out of blessings. I believe every time we gather in His name, He's got another blessing for us. Every time you come to church, at least there are three prayers that bless you when the service starts. Is that right? Somebody, Lord, bless us today. Am I right? When they take up the offering, Lord, bless the offering and bless all those who give. And when you're leaving, Lord, as we go, bless us. So you're blessed at least three times. And then if the preacher is going to pray for you, that's another time. So you're blessed. Somebody say amen. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I know it's a little chilly, but your mouth, you can still smile. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. Just my wife and myself, we are living over there. All our kids are here and our grandkids, and we haven't seen them for about 6 months. So we're all excited and we're all thrilled to see them. And we're glad God is keeping them and blessing them and protecting them, and so we can do His work over there. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, let's turn to the book of Mark, chapter 9. I want to share with you a principle of life. I want to share with you this morning, not so much preach to you, but share with you how your life can be more successful, more victorious, more powerful, more dynamic, how you can be used more of God. And if you will believe, all things are possible. You have Mark chapter 9. Let's start reading from verse 14. Mark 9:14. If you're ready, say amen. Amen. All right, I want to say this to you this morning. I will be sticking my head in the Word. So I would ask that you stick your head with me. Is that all right? And we'll see what we can discover there today. We are doing some digging for nuggets in the Word of God. And when he came to his disciples, he was up on the mountain. He saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway, all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, "What question ye with them?" And one of the multitude answered and said, "Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." Now, this is what the father said. Does he really know that? Is he an expert in spirits? All right, here we go. I'm trying to stir you up so you can stay with me, all right? And then he said what? Verse 18, "And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him." That's the spirit. "And he foameth," the boy foameth, "and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." And they could not. "And he answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, How long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, Of a child. And oft times it had cast him into the fire." He wanted to commit suicide. You see that there? "And into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit. That's what Jesus said. It was a foul spirit. And saying unto him, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand, lifting him up, and he arose. And when he came to his disciples into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast him out?" And he said unto them, "This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting." This is a real interesting story. And we have a lot of details here today. And we want to look at this closely. And we want to see what we can learn from it. Jesus went up into the mountain with three of his disciples, and he was transfigured before them. He was changed. His clothes became white, as no person can make it white. And Elias and Moses appeared unto him, and they talked with him. And then the voice of God said, "This is my beloved son. Hear him. Don't listen to Moses anymore. Listen to my son." And when the three guys saw it and said, "Lord, we are so happy. We are blessed. Let's stay up here and build three churches. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. And we don't want to go down there." But the Lord said, No. Down there is where the need is. Down there is where the people are suffering. Down there, we got to take this glory that we have on the mountain and share it with those people that are down there. We got to take this power that we have on this mountain and share it with those people down there. And even so it is today with believers who have touched God and who have touched the throne of God. It's time that you reach out and touch someone who is in need, and touch someone that has a dumb spirit and a deaf spirit and some other kind of spirit, and let them know with God all things are possible. And so when he came down to the bottom of the mountain, he saw a big crowd gathered, and they were arguing with his disciples. And he came in the midst and said, "What's going on here?" And one man said, "Master, I brought my son who has a dumb spirit." You see, many times we try to diagnose a situation. And many times we think we know what it is. But sometimes we don't. And many times, I'm going to say, the devil is behind some situations. But we don't see him. And this is where we get defeated, because we don't see the enemy for what he is. And I'm sure this man must have tried everything. But look at the situation. The boy was miserable. The boy was sad. And even so was the father, because he's got to stay up with him. He's got to stay awake with him. He's got to watch him everywhere he goes. And that's one of the reasons why we should pray for our children and our grandchildren, that God keep them and God protect them, that we can do something for the Lord. But if we are taking up all the time with our kids and they're sick and they're not well, there's hardly anything you can do for the Lord. But with God, all things are possible. Let's see what happened here. Let's look at some of the words that the Mark, the disciple, wrote here. And let's see what he says. Verse 17, "And one of the multitude answered and said, 'Master, I have brought unto thee my son which had a dumb spirit, and wheresoever he taken him, he carried him.'" Now, I've known this from practical experience. The evil forces of hell and Satan holds people's throat and they don't talk. They can't talk until that spirit is cast out. And this is for real. And he said, look what he said. He taken him, that is, the spirit controls him, and tearing him, that is, he fights himself, I would imagine. Tears off his clothes, scratches himself. Wow, that would be terrible. Hallelujah. And he foameth. Froth will come out of his mouth. And gnashed his teeth. This is the fact. Like a dog, like an angry animal. But it wasn't him, it was the power that was within him. And have we met angry people? Have we met people that there's no reason why they're angry? There's no reason why they're mad. Now, I am not saying they have an evil spirit. I would be wrong to say that. But I'm saying we ought to be very careful who is behind their anger. Somebody say amen. I'd be wrong to say that they have an evil spirit. Am I right? Well, we got to watch it sometimes. And there are a lot of people that get angry when a Christian is around. And there are a lot of people that get angrier when a Holy Ghost-filled Christian is around. They get mad. Woo! But greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Somebody say amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. This man has been with this boy for a long time, and he knows all that happens. He foams. He gnashes teeth. He would fight himself, pull his hair, tear himself up. And obviously nobody could help him. And he was getting slimmer. He was pining away. And the disciples could do nothing. One of the saddest things today in the churches, they cannot deliver people. I know one story of a pastor from one church. This young lady came to his church in Guyana several times with an evil spirit. And when she comes to the church, the evil spirit will get into her and she will perform and do all kind of stuff. And they couldn't cast him out. They sent him to another church, send the girl, her, to another church. Isn't that sad? People come to the church for help and there is no spiritual help. There is nobody that has the power of God. Silver and gold have I none, says Peter. But what I have, I'm going to give it to you. in the name of Jesus. Rise up and walk. I'm here to tell you today that when people come to church, there is a power that tries to control them. There is a power that makes them sad. There's a power to try to bind them. But we who are spirit-filled and has the power, when they come in here, our power should be greater than that power. And for that moment that they're here, they should be free and be delivered. That's the point I'm trying to make here today. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. And Jesus said, how long am I going to be with you? And he was telling the disciples that, you're supposed to do this. You've been with me now for a while. You're supposed to do this. And what I'm trying to say is, while the people are singing, this should be done. The powers that control people that are not of God should go. And they should be free. I'm talking about the real deal here. I'm talking about the real power. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
And he said, they brought him unto him. And when he saw the straightway, the spirit tear him. And he fell on the ground. And he was wallowed foaming. You know why that happened? He was standing before the Son of God. He was standing before power. He was standing before Almighty God. Fell on the ground. He started to wallow like a pig would wallow in the mud. And he was foaming at his mouth and gnashing his teeth. Wow. I would have been very embarrassed if it was my son. And the Lord said, how long since he was a child? Driving this father nuts. If you don't pray for your children, they're going to drive you nuts. What I mean is there's some teenagers today. You can't control them. You can't even talk to them. Am I right? You can't even get them to come to church. But I'm saying, if you start praying for them in the name of Jesus, something is going to happen. Because I believe out there, there are forces that are loose trying to get our teenagers to go to hell, trying to get them, like this young man, to commit suicide, going into the fire, plunging into the water, trying to commit suicide. But with a praying mother and a father, God will bring deliverance. Can somebody say amen? And Jesus, when he saw the people running, the man said, if you can do anything, please help me. And he said, if you can believe, all things are possible. You see, a lot of people don't understand. I take the word of God literally as it is. All things are possible. A church is possible. A young people's building is possible. A home is possible. A promotion is possible. More finances. All things are possible. If you will believe. If you will be, that's the key that turns on the blessings of God. If you will believe. Right here, the man cried out and said, Lord, help my unbelief. I believe. Somebody say amen. You see, God sees in our hearts, and he knows how much we believe, and he knows how much to give us. And when Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the false spirit. Thou dumb and deaf spirit. The Lord give the full diagnosis here. A dumb and deaf spirit. I charge you, come out of him and enter no more into him. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he is as one dead. In so much that many thought he was dead. But then Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up and he rose. What a miracle. But don't forget, he was on top of the mountain where the power of God came upon him. And when he came down, he just spoke the word and it went. He just spoke the word, come out! One of the secrets of many ministries is when they gather together in the church, they start to pray against anything that may be there. The devil likes to come to church too, you know. And when we get in here and we start praying, the Lord, people are going to be free to worship. People are going to be free to sing. People are going to be free to come forward for prayer. People are going to be free to lift their hands and worship God. And when we do that, there is freedom to worship. Liberty in the spirit. Somebody say amen. Amen. And the disciples were shocked. They had such a hard time. And the Lord just said, come out. And the demon obeyed. And when they went into the house, he said, Lord, how did you do that? And he said, this kind goeth not out, but by prayer and by fasting. I'm here to tell you today, there's some things in your life, there's some things in your church, there's some things in your home will not be done, but by some prayer and some fasting. You got to get to a place where you're desperate, where you're serious. You've got to get to the place where you're going to hold on to God, or as Jacob did, you're going to wrestle with God until you get a blessing. You're going to push the plate back and you're going to reach out and say, God, you've got to do it. I want you to turn over to the book of Isaiah, chapter 58. I'm going to show you the power of fasting. Isaiah 58. Verse 3. Wherefore have we fasted, say they, and thou seest not? Wherefore have we afflicted our soul? Thou takest no knowledge. Behold, in the day of your fast, ye find pleasure and exact all your labors. Behold, ye fast for strife and debate, to smite with the fist of wickedness. Ye shall not fast as ye do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high. Is it such a fast I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down his head as a bulrush, to spread sackcloth and ashes under him? Wilt thou call this a fast and an acceptable day to the Lord? You see, the Lord was rebuking them because they were fasting for pleasure. They were fasting to talk about it. They wanted people to notice them when they put on their sackcloth and put their ashes on their head. And this Lord said, is that the kind of fast? No, he said, no. Look at the fast that he wants. And it says right there in the next verse. Verse 5, is it such a fast that I have chosen? Verse 6, let's go down to verse 6. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, that ye break every yoke? Woo! There is your answer. Those who are oppressed, depressed, whatever you call it, you call the church on a fast. Those who are burdened down, oh, I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, get fasting. Now listen, I'm not saying this, I'm telling you what the Bible says. Let's see something here. Somebody say amen. Give me a smile, you're getting me nervous up here. In the Garden of Eden, what was it that the devil used to cause Adam and Eve to disobey God? It was food. It was food. Am I right here? Somebody say amen. Amen. And when we reject food, and when we push it away, we can draw nearer to God. in the spirit. Because it was food that caused Adam and Eve to sin. And we're all in this trouble today. It was there eating the apple that we get oppressed and we get burdened down and we get troubled. So when we push that back a little bit and we seek God with all our hearts, the burdens will be lifted. The oppressed will go free. Somebody say amen. I don't know about you, but I've seen people oppressed. I've seen believers walking around with heavy burdens. I've seen believers, instead of shouting and praising the Lord, they're complaining all the time. There's no victory. And here the Lord is saying, this kind can only come by prayer and by fasting. Sometimes we get accustomed to these little nice prayers, you know. But there comes a time when you start a fast and you start to lie on the floor. And the tears start to fall. And you're no longer aware of where you are and what time it is. But you see the throne of God high and lifted up. And around the throne there are 12 elders on one side, 12 elders and 24 elders sitting on their little thrones. Before the throne, 7 lamps representing the Holy Spirit. Around the throne there is a great rainbow. And on the floor of the throne there is a crystal glass. And the creatures of heaven are crying, holy, holy, holy Lord. I'm talking about reaching out to God with all your mind and all your concentration and forgetting where you are. And then the oppressed will go free. And then the burdens will drop and the chains that hold them will break. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, we're not done. This thing is so rich, you wouldn't believe how rich it is. Verse 6 again. Is it this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bands of wickedness? To undo the heavy burdens? To let the oppressed go free? That ye break every yoke? We had a situation in our orphanage not so long ago. Bad situation. We had a house parent, and she was lazy. And she wouldn't follow instructions. And she would email people over here and tell them bad things about the orphanage. You know what I mean? And we had to let her go. But when we let her go, she started to work with the kids. She'd go to the school and meet them. And take them to her house. And give them food. And put things in their head that myself and my wife, we are wicked. And we are no good, you know? And she's good. And she had 2 husbands already. And where she was living, she had another one there. And she was better than us. And we started to fast. We got the kids to fast on Sunday morning. And we fasted about 2 Sundays or maybe a third one. And guess what happened? The yoke was broken. One of the girls that was her best friend, the one that she was depending on, she came one day and took her hand and was dragging her to her house. And the girl said, no, no, I'm not going with you no more. I don't want to hear nothing no more. I believe Pastor and I believe Sister Sheila. And she prays. And now she seeks the Lord. And her eyes have been opened now. Now she told me that she wanted to change her name and take my last name. But what happened? You see what happened? The fasting broke the yoke. Somebody say amen. And I'm going to tell you today, fasting will break any yoke in the church, in the lives of people. We've got to do it. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We are fighting spiritual powers. And we've got to do it with spiritual weapons. Can somebody say amen? Somebody say praise the Lord. Let's see where we are. We are at verse 7. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou cover him? Thou hide not thyself from the... You know, this is funny because we have some people that fast like that. They won't eat no breakfast, but they'll save the breakfast for lunch. And when they eat lunch and breakfast at the same time. The Lord said, don't do that. If you're not going to eat breakfast, give it away to somebody that needs it. And you know, they said, I'm fasting today. But at the end of the day, they had lunch and breakfast, and they had their dinner too. If you're going to sacrifice a meal, that's it. Sacrifice that meal. If you're going to sacrifice two meals, sacrifice two meals. There is power in fasting. There is power in getting alone with God. Let's go forward. Let's go on. Don't give up yet. Verse 8. See, when you fast, you give to the naked, you give to the poor. Look at verse 8. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily. Are you sick? You got a condition? Fasting is the answer. Right here. This is the word of God. Your health shall spring forth speedily. You're going to have the light of the morning. You're going to be bright. If you don't believe that page, you ought to tear it out. I believe it. I really believe it. I really believe. If you're fasting regularly, your light will break forth like the morning. Your health shall spring forth speedily. And thy righteousness shall go before thee. And the glory of the Lord will be your reward. You know what that means? The Spirit of God will come and live within you. People will know you're different. You're not an ordinary person. You are different. Somebody say amen. Amen. We got some believers that come to church and hope that the Spirit will move. Wrong. You ought to come to church with the Spirit moving in you before you get here. Amen. And that's going to happen when you go to God in fasting. And somebody said, well, you know, I can't do it. It's so hard. Well, start small. Take half off. Say, Lord, I'm going to cut half of my meal today or this morning. And I'm sacrificing it for you. One young man went on 21 days fast. And all he did was juice. Another guy in Guyana went on another 21-day fast. And all he did was eat one meal in the night and then fast the whole day. God doesn't expect us to do more we can do. But God will honor us when we start something. Your health. I want health, man. Somebody said, what's your age? I said, I'm 61. They said, oh. Your health will spring forth. In Guyana, we got a problem with the people. The minute you hit 50 and you're 50 years old, you're old. You should be sitting somewhere in a rocking chair. I go to lift something and I said, no, you don't lift it. I'm going to lift it. I may fall to pieces, you know. I told him, I said, listen, I'm ready to work for the Lord. I'm starting a new ministry over there. We're building a new church. I'm going to be the pastor. I'm not ready to sit down. And when that church comes there, I want to see people filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to see demons cast out. I wonder when they come in there, and they must know that the power of God is in this church. And I'm going to get people to fast with me. And we're going to pray, and God is going to do miracles. Listen, your health is going to come forth. It's not done yet. Look at the verse 9. I like this. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord will not answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall not say. Oh, am I reading right? Oh, I tell you what happened. I have what you call progressive lens. I don't know if you heard about it, but it's funny. You know, I had what you call trifocals, right? One I used to see to drive with. The other one you use the computer, and the next one you read with. Now, when I went to this doctor, he said, I'll give you progressive lens. The top here, you can drive it, and it progressive more as you go down. So I can read. I got to keep getting my eyes up here and progressing the glass. It's funny, but it's true. Hear what he said. The Lord will answer your prayer. So when you call, not maybe or could be, he will answer. Woo! My Lord, you got somebody really getting on your case? Fast. Not that they will be destroyed, but fast that God is going to do something about it. And God is the one, he knows what best to do. He might move them out of the area. Remember all things. God answers prayers. I told you how God answered prayers in Guyana when we need money. Somebody said, how you get them? I said, we pray. And that's the truth. I said it yesterday morning at the banquet. I want to say it again. Our picture went into the papers, and people saw the orphanage and saw my wife receiving some groceries from some people. And everybody knew. And one couple who owned the gas station came looking for us. We never met them before. Never met them. Came looking for us. And when they found us, said, oh, I never saw them. They never saw me. And they were glad what they saw. And I said, well, good to see you. Glad you came. Before she left, she wrote a check for 15,000 Guyana dollars. And since then, she has been giving us $15,000 every month. Before I came, I sent her an email and said, hey, I'm leaving, you know what I mean? And I hope that you say a prayer for me. She said, oh my, I forgot the check. Come pick up the check tomorrow. Miracle. I want to show you God is moving. A young lady came from New York to visit. And she saw the internet. She saw a website on the internet. And she said, God sent her here. And she brought clothes, you know, for the kids, you know. And she said again, you know, God sent me here. And I said, are you a Christian? She said, no, I'm a Hindu. But God sent her there. Somebody say amen. Our finances have been coming in by prayer. We get on our knees and we said, oh God, we need this. We need that. Please provide. One pastor and his wife brought in one day. They brought 8 chickens and rice, bags of rice. I never met them before. I never met the pastor. I'm trying to show you that he said when you fast and you do it properly, your prayers will be heard. Oh my God. If there is anything I want my prayers to be heard. Think about that. Brother, if God answers your prayers, my God, you'll have everything you want, you pray for. But you know, we're not going to be like the people that are greedy and selfish. Lord, I don't want a car, give me a plane. Lord, I don't want a 2-bedroom house, give me a 10. Oh, it's possible. But you know, we don't want to consume these things on our lust. You know? Oh, Lord, give me a better car than my brother here. That's kind of a something's wrong with that prayer. We got to pray for what we need. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Your health is going to come better. God is going to hear your prayer. Tell me more, preacher. Let's see what happened in verse. When you call, he shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, here am I. If I take away from thee the yoke and the pulling forth of the finger and the speaking of vanity, pointing to people, accusing people. Stop doing that. But fasting is what's going to help you to stop doing that. And then we go on. Look at the next verse. And if thou drawest thy soul to the hungry, satisfy the afflicted soul. You know those who are hungry? Homeless children, weary and hungry, the afflicted soul. Then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness shall be as the noonday. Whoa. Is that a promise to me? Verse 11. And the Lord shall guide thee continually. Satisfy thy soul in the time of drought. I understand you got a recession here in America. I understand a lot of people don't have money. You know, in Guyana, we don't have a recession. True. They're having a 3% growth in their economy. And I said, praise the Lord. And I want to enjoy that. You know, but he said in the time of drought, when there's famine, when there's problem, he is going to provide for you. He did for Elijah. He sent a raven with food, with meat and with bread, and provided for him. And he will provide for you in the time of drought, when you're laid off from your job, when you're knocked off from your job. God will provide. Because I'm going to spend time in fasting and prayer. I'm going to fast and pray. I'm going to pray until God answers. Somebody say amen. Amen. Verse 11. The Lord shall guide thee continue, satisfy thy soul on earth, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden. Ooh, you know what's a watered garden? Every plant is growing. Every flower is looking good. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Amen. I don't see any cancer there. I don't see any tumor there. You'll be like a watered garden. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Woo. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. I like that. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the fountain. Somebody said, well, you know what? That is for Old Testament time. I don't care what you say. It is the word of God. Amen. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. You see, fasting worked all along. Cornelius fasted and prayed. And an angel came after 3 days. Daniel fasted and prayed for 3 weeks, and an angel came and said, Daniel, from the first day you prayed, your prayers were heard, but someone kept me back. But God sent Michael and delivered me. Here I am. I'm going to tell you what God says. Hannah did not eat, but she fasted and prayed, and God gave her a son, Samuel by name. And all through the Bible, people that fasted and set aside time and prayed, things happened. Somebody say amen. Amen. Oh, I know the churches have programs. I know we have things that we do. But there is nothing that will make a church grow more than when the people get together and say, we're going to turn our face to the wall. We're going to see God. We're going to believe God for a miracle. We're going to believe God for deliverance. We're going to believe God for healing. We're going to believe God for jobs. We're going to believe God for great things. We're going to believe God that people are going to come in here and they're going to know that God dwells among us. People visit an orphanage all the time, and many of them, before they leave, they shed tears. And somebody said, I wonder why. You know why? The Spirit of God is all over that place. And they can't help but they just feel different. And I'm saying to you today, if you're the back start fasting and the front start fasting and over here start fasting, when people come in here, they're going to feel the glory of God. And you know, you won't be limping around. You'll be like a watered garden. Your health is going to spring forth. God is going to bless you. Your life all around you is going to be blessed. And isn't that what Jesus said? While the bridegroom is with the people, they don't fast. But when he's gone, they will fast. And when you fast, don't make your face sad and long. Anoint yourself with oil. Don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Don't go around telling them, you know, I'm on a three-day fast. What do you think about that? You know, some people fast just to show off, you know. I don't know about you guys, but I'm on a seven-day fast this week. You already have your reward. You blow your own trumpet. But the Lord says, if you can believe, all things are possible. Now here's a point. God can move on any heart that he wants to. But when we pray, God can move on the hearts of those that have the finances. God can move on the hearts of those that have the things we need. But we don't seek the people, we seek God. And we said, oh God, speak to the banker in the name of Jesus. Oh God, speak to the guy that has the money in the name of the Lord. Let him give that we can go on with your work. When we started our orphanage, we started with $490 to build. $490. When we finished building, it cost about $200,000. And God supplied all the needs. One time the building was stuck, we couldn't go. And I had 18 men coming from America here to work in the building. And their conditions for coming was that when they come, you will provide the materials and they're going to work. They're not going to buy no materials. I said, oh Lord, we don't know what's going to happen here because I don't have all the money is done. And those men went and examined the building the first day they came. And when they came down from the building, they called me aside. And they counted out $20,000. I never seen so much money in my life. Cash. And they gave it to me and said, brother, you go buy. Buy materials and let's work. I didn't ask them, I didn't beg them. God spoke to their hearts. And I want to challenge you today in your personal life, for your health, do some fasting. Your children giving you problems. Your marriage is failing. Get them on your knees. You need a job. Oh God, where should I work? Open a door somewhere. Wherever you do, I'm seeking you. He said, when you call, I will answer. And when we went to Guyana to work in their orphanage, we went there without any promise of any salary. But you know what? God is beginning to supply the need. All things are possible. All things. Your health can come back. And you can spring forward like a water guard. Ooh, and people want to know what kind of vitamins you're taking. How come you're eating like that? No, no. You've been on your knees before God, who is the source of our health, who is the source of our life. Somebody say amen. Amen. And God is going to put his life into you. God is going to put his strength into you. God is going to put his power into you. And every one of you will become a devil chaser. Because you got the power of God. Somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. You know, we can go on and on. But let me close by sharing with you. There are different levels of praying. There is petitionary prayer, oh Lord, help us. There is prevailing prayer. And you pray. There is intercessory prayer. And there are times when we labor in prayer like Jesus did in the garden. He prayed and concentrated so much that his sweat became like drops of blood. When you get hold of God, time fades away. The place you are, you forget where you are, and you just lock in. And God begins to talk with you, and you begin to talk to God. God will share secrets with you. God will tell you things. God is going to tell you what's going to happen. God is going to tell you how your life is going to go. God is going to open doors while you are praying and you are fasting. Doors are going to open. And this church can overflow with people if we will start seeking God. I know you pray, but there comes a time when you got to go in real deep intercessory prayer. You got to get in prevailing prayer. You got to get in laborious prayer, prayer that labors. Remember what Elijah did? Put his head between his knees and prayed for rain to come. There was no rain. Prayed again and again and again 7 times. Never stop until a cloud appear like the hand of a man. I challenge you today, get in the spiritual. Get in the things of God. And let the devil know you're there. When you walk in and when you walk around, demons will back away. Because you're clothed with the power of God. You're covered with the anointing of God. Stop playing church. Start delivering people. Start setting them free. Why? Because when you call, he will answer. Because the glory of God will be your portion. Because the power of God will dwell within you. Because the anointing of God will fill your life. Because you're going to be blessed and you're going to be like a watered garden. Your health will spring forth. Your darkness will be like light. This promise is good for me, I tell you. If they do it with all the Bible, I like this part. God will answer me when I call. God will keep me strong. God will break the yoke and deliver the oppressed and set the captives free. But you know something? We can only do what our strength will allow us to do. Blessed are those men who can fast for 21 days. Blessed are those that can fast for 7 days. But you know what? I don't believe God counted in days. I believe God counted by your strength. I believe that. And I believe God will look down and God will start blessing. Things are going to start happening. Hallelujah! The glory of God will appear in the church. And the people will start to praise God. And the lame will walk. And the oppressed will go free. And the sick will be healed. And Jesus will reign in the church. Let's stand together for prayer. I want you to lift your hands and give him praise this morning. Lift your hands and worship him. Look up to the throne. Look up to the throne. There is a rainbow around the throne. There are elders sitting around. Oh yeah, the creatures are saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, Father. Release your power that those who are bound will be free. Release your power today. That those who are oppressed will be delivered in the name of Jesus. Oh, Maria Kose Matayabas. Huniro Bakante Yabasik. Worship God. Worship Him. He's in the house today. Worship Him. Oh, Diana Marosikoya. There's some of you today that are sick. You always, you know, these. Sickness always come around. If you would start doing what God said to do, you're going to be all right. Your health shall spring forth. You shall be like a watered garden. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Is there someone that want to join me in prayer? Up front here, you want to join me in prayer? You want to come, let's pray together for a situation, for a problem, for someone else maybe who you know they're oppressed, they're bound, they need deliverance. Step out and come boldly. You're not coming to me, you're coming to the Lord. And we're going to join together. And we're going to bind the powers of darkness. Oriantosa makatai. Ina marosso. Koyandolo bashena makosa. Oh, in the name of Jesus. Oh, yes, Father.
Pray for my son, Jeremiah.
In the name of Jesus, we pray for Jeremiah today. That the Holy Ghost will reach him wherever he is. Even this very hour, God. Oh, Santore me cotasia.
Praise you, Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, bring him to his senses. Bring him to the place where he can see Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, put in his heart today a desire to fast and to pray. And in the name of Jesus, There is no power greater than the power of God. There's nothing that can come against the anointing of God. But the anointing is going to break the yoke. In the name of Jesus, lift your hands and give Him praise. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. All things are possible. I don't know what you're worried about today, but all things are possible. We rebuke the powers of Satan. We rebuke all the things that Satan may bring against our sinners in the name of Jesus. And we bring deliverance to her today. In the name of Jesus Christ. Sister, God has a work for you to do. And you need His power to do that work. And you got to stay on your knees and you got to seek Him. God is going to use you to deliver people. But you got to wait before Him for that power. In the name of Jesus Christ, let the glory of God fill this life. Great is your faith, sister. Great is your faith today. But your work is not done. God has more for you to do. God is going to use you to deliver people. Cast out the spirits that hold them down. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. So when you call, I will answer. I will answer when you call. In the name of Jesus, Lord, minister to my dear sister today. Fill her heart with your joy and your peace and your love. In the name of Jesus, in the name of the Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God.
I want you to do two things. I want you to make a fresh commitment to the Lord on a personal level. I think God is calling us to go deeper. Deeper than we've ever gone. I don't want you just to scratch the surface, but I want you to go deep in your personal relationship with the Lord. And then we have an opportunity now to make an investment. You know, when you invest in good ground that's going to produce a harvest, it's a natural principle, it's a spiritual principle, it's a truth. I want you to make an investment into the ministry of Reverend Serge Paul and his wife. As they're serving the Lord, they are sold out. So, Father, we just give you thanks and praise for the opportunity. And, Lord, we just do, we're going to obey the Lord. And we're going to do what you tell us to do in Jesus' name. So, Father, we just thank you for a great offering for this ministry, for this man and woman of God, and for your kingdom. And, Lord, we're going to go deeper in Jesus' name. And you can, you know, if you make a check, just make it out to VCF. Then we in turn give them one check. And just go ahead and put it where the offerings and tithes go. And God bless it. I can share experience after experience how God has blessed me. And, you know, he's no respecter of persons. So as you go today, just make an you're making an investment into the kingdom. And fellowship with your brothers and sisters. Amen. Because fellowship is important. And so, Father, we just thank you for sealing this word in our hearts. Just hold on just a second, Andrew. Father, we just thank you for sealing this word in our hearts, Father. Let it burn in our hearts by your power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we just give you thanks and praise for doing a great and mighty work, and the work that you began in us, you're faithful to do in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day. And don't just try fasting one time. Do it and see what God does. Amen. Put your whole heart into it. Ask the Lord to help you and guide you, and he will. So enjoy the rest of your day. Be blessed. God bless you. Have a great day.